Several of the squad sat up in the darkness, amazed at this. "I realize I ought to know these things, but what does Grupha mean?" said the voice of Maledict in the damp darkness.
"Oh, well, when, right, a daddy troll and a mummy troll."
"Good, right, yes, I think I've got it. Thank you," said Maledict. "And what you've got there, my friend, is patriotism. My country, right or wrong."
"You should love your country," said Shufting.
"Okay, what part?"
the voice of Tonka demanded from the far corner of the tent.
"The morning sunlight on the mountains? The horrible food? The damn mad abominations? All of my country except whatever bit Strappy is standing on?
But we are at war."
"Yes, that's where they've got you," sighed Polly.
"Well, I'm not buying into it. It's all trickery. They keep you down, and when they piss off some other country, you have to fight for them. It's only your country when they want you to get killed," said Tonka.
"All the good business country in this tent,"
said the voice of Wazza. Embarrassed silence descended. The rain settled in. After a while, the tent began to leak. Eventually, someone said,
"What happens if you join up, but then you decide you don't want to?"
That was Shufting.
"I think that's called deserting, and they cut your head off," said the voice of Maledict. "In my case, that would be a drawback, but you, dear Shufty, would find it simply puts a big crimp in your social life."
"I never kissed their damn picture," said Tonka. "I swiveled it round when Strappy wasn't looking and kissed it on the back."
"They'll still say you kissed the Duchess, though," said Maledict.
"You kissed the Duchess on the bottom?"
said Wazza, horrified.
"It was the back of the picture, okay," said Tonka. "It wasn't her real backside. Heh, wouldn't have kissed it if it was."
There was some unidentified sniggering from various corners, and just a hint of giggle.
"That was wicked," hissed Wazza. "Nuggin in heaven saw you do that."
"It was just a picture, all right,"
muttered Tonka.
"Anyway, what's the difference? Front or back, we're all here together, and I don't see any steak and bacon."
Something rumbled overhead.
"I joined to see exciting foreign places and meet erotic people," said Carborundum.
That caused a moment's thought.
"I think you mean exotic," said Igor.
"Yeah, that kind of stuff," agreed the troll.
"But they always lie," said someone, and then Polly realised it was her. "They lie all the time about everything."
"He meant all that," said Tonka. "We fight for liars."
"Ah, they may be liars," snapped Polly, in a passable imitation of Strappy's yap, "but they're our liars."
"Now, now, children," said Maledict, "let's try to get some sleep, shall we? But here's a happy little dream from your Uncle Maledict. Dream that when we go into battle, Corporal Strappy is leading us. Wouldn't that be fun?"
After a while, Tonka said,
"In front of us, you mean?"
"Oh, yes, I can see you're with me, Tonk, right in front of you, on the noisy, frantic, confusing battlefield, where oh so much can go wrong."
"And we'll have weapons," said Shufti wistfully.
"Of course you'll have weapons, your soldiers. And there's the enemy right in front of you."
"That's a good dream, Mal."
"Sleep on it, kid."
Polly turned over and tried to make herself comfortable. "It's all lies," she thought muzzily. "Some of them are just prettier than others, that's all. People see what they think is there. Even I'm a lie, but I'm getting away with it." A warm autumnal wind was blowing leaves off the rowan trees as the recruits marched among the foothills. It was the morning of the next day, and the mountains were behind them. Polly passed the time identifying the birds in the hedgerows. It was a habit. She knew most of them. She hadn't set out to be an ornithologist, but birds brought Paul alive. All the slowness in the rest of his thinking became a flash of lightning in the presence of birds. Suddenly he knew their names, habits, and habitats, could whistle their songs, and, after Polly had saved up for a box of paints off a traveller at the inn, had painted a picture of a wren so real you could hear it. Their mother had been alive then. The row had gone on for days. Pictures of living creatures were an abomination in the eyes of Nuggan. Polly had asked why there were pictures of the Duchess everywhere, and had been thrashed for it. The picture had been burned, the paints thrown away.